These days, many of us consider how they want to change their life once we come out at the other end of the tunnel. Isolation and distancing measures have stopped many of us in their daily routines, and we had some time to think. How am I leading my life? What am I really doing? What are my priorities? And is there anything that I might want to change, perhaps? Psalm 23 is an invitation to help us look at our lives more carefully. The psalm invites us to reconsider our priorities in life and our attitudes. And the psalm begins with the famous words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And some of us then perhaps ask, "Oh, wait a minute, why do I need a shepherd? What do I need a shepherd for? If the Lord is my shepherd, then that makes me and you, right, sheep." And sheep are not really known for their brains. On the contrary, they're often portrayed as being a little slow in understanding. They tend to get confused and disoriented, and quite often they need to be rescued and protected. If I had to compare myself to an animal, I'd much rather choose a fox for its wits, or an eagle or a lion for its strength. But a sheep, that would imply that I'm somewhat insufficient and helpless, and that's not who I want to be, right? Just before the COVID pandemic hit us, it seemed that we humans had reached the pinnacle of self-centeredness and perceived self-sufficiency. We worship the gods of self-reliance and self-efficacy. I mean, look what I've achieved. Yes, I can. Or, as William Ernest Henley expressed it in his poem Invictus, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Our ambition was to live as proud lions, really. And the lion would have wanted to reframe this psalm, and that's what I've done for you. So let's hear the lion version. The lion says this, "I am my own shepherd. I will make sure that I lack nothing. I lie down where I want and when I want. I refresh my soul by simply looking into the mirror, admiring my own beauty, my own power and accomplishments. I guide myself on the right path for my own name's sake. And if I ever walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, because I'm a lion. I'm the king of the animals. I prepare a table for myself in the presence of my enemies. I anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in my expensive penthouse forever." And you can tell this is really not a nice person to be around. That's the sort of person that will fight with you over the last batch of toilet paper at Kohl's and the newest gadget for sale at Aldi's. We think perhaps of the greedy Wolf of Wall Street. Maybe you've seen the movie, which is based on the true story of a former stockbroker called Jordan Belfort. And the whole idea is about appearances and about success measured in money. Belfort writes, and I'm going to read you from his book, quote, "Act as if you're a wealthy man, rich already, and then you'll surely become rich. Act as if you have unmatched confidence, and then people will surely have confidence in you. Act as if you have unmatched experience, and then people will follow your advice. And act as if you're already a tremendous success. And as sure as I stand here today, you will become successful." End quote. Is this the person you really want to be? Self-infatuated, arrogant and greedy, lions, wolves for that matter, who want to control their own fate? Ultimately, I think these people realize that that doesn't work, and they end up frustrated, anxious, and depressed. And I'm sure you've all read about the spike in drug abuse and anti-anxiety and anti-depressant prescriptions that's rampant. And this all tells us that the self-centered approach to life doesn't really work. This current pandemic reminds us all in powerful ways that we are not as independent and as self-sufficient as we thought we were. And as long as we try to be lions, wolves, or wolves in sheep's clothing, maybe we are bypassing the life for which we were created. And we will end up frustrated at best and seriously depressed at worst. There's great liberty in accepting the reality of who we really are, namely fragile little sheep. And we desperately need a shepherd. It will cost us some humility to accept that, but the reward is great. And I suggest we now move to the psalm together and discover the beauty of really being a sheep with a shepherd. And on this journey, we get to know ourselves better. And of course, we get to know our great shepherd better. So this is really our theme here this morning. Surrender to God and get to know your great shepherd. That's what we want to do. And I think there are three traits of this great shepherd that stand out in this psalm. And we look at each of them in turn. Our shepherd is first a generous host, a faithful guide, and a powerful protector. First of all, the generous host. David portrays his God here as a shepherd that leads his sheep to rich feeding ground where there's an abundance of food and water. I'm going to read you here the first few verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And then verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And the provision that David describes here is moves clearly beyond the fulfillment of our most basic needs. I mean, we can really imagine the sheep having digested a rich meal that they're now lying down in the shade right next to a refreshing streamlet of water. It's quite an idyllic picture, really. God is portrayed as a shepherd who is the most generous host, who not only provides for the sheep a basic nutritious meal, but there's super abundance. There's more than you can take. It's all you can eat Michelin star cuisine. Imagine you just had the most delicious lunch and you're now lying next to the pool and your only concern in life at this moment is, shall I take another dip or shall I take another zip from that refreshing orange juice? What do we learn about ourselves here as sheep? Well, sheep are famous for getting lost. They need to be led by their shepherd. And they need to be led to places of good food. And our problem is that so often we will fill our stomachs and our minds and our hearts with junk food, the wrong food, the things that are not really good for us. We get addicted to things that are bad for us. We're not very smart, if we are honest, and we can be pretty stubborn. Sometimes we just say, oh, I think I know exactly what's good for me. So thank you very much. I'll have that. I certainly don't want to miss out on this delicious mushroom here. Let me have that. A shepherd clearly needs a large dose of patience with his sheep. And here's a shepherd who is patient and who knows what we need and what's good for us. Even more, he is a shepherd who wants to spoil us with good things. And I fear that many of us go through life thinking that the shepherd is not so much a generous shepherd, but a begrudging Scrooge. Many of us, I think, feel that God withholds good things from us. And nothing could be further from the truth. This view needs some serious readjustment. Because the New Testament clearly introduces pictures that portray God as a generous host who prepares, for instance, a great banquet in Matthew 22. James talks about the Father of lights from whom every good and perfect gift comes. And then there's the promised great marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19. So I think you get the idea. With God, there is goodness, there's superabundance, there's festivity, and there's joy. And let us not forget, too, really the outrageous idea that it is actually God Himself who is serving us, the shepherd serving the sheep. That really is the essence of the gospel. God is serving you. And you don't have to go and wash the dishes afterwards. There's nothing of you required in return. You cannot pay the shepherd back somehow. There are no strings attached. Everything you do as a small little sheep is you just sit and relax and enjoy what God serves you. One of the most shocking and at the same time most beautiful verses of in the New Testament is found in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And the greatest gift that God can give you then is not some thing, a nice career or a beautiful partner, job, whatever it is, success in business. The greatest thing that God can give you and does give you is He Himself. Jesus really is the source of your greatest satisfaction, your true joy. He is the source of your content and the fulfillment of all your desires. In Him alone, the sheep find everything they need. In this quiet fellowship with their shepherd, their soul is being fed and refreshed. That's what Jesus really says in John 10 when He says, quote, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So as we enjoy intimate fellowship with our great shepherd, we experience truly fulfilling life. If you have Jesus as your shepherd, you lack really nothing. Question is, can you say that? I lack nothing. Now, we've really settled the most important issue here, but there's more to discover, and we take a few brief moments to look at some other fascinating traits of our great shepherd. Because David portrays the shepherd also as a faithful guide. So second, the faithful guide. We need this faithful guide because another issue we sheep face is our distinct lack of orientation. As I said before, we tend to get lost and we go astray. We often think we know the way, but all too often we become enmeshed in the thicket of life's opportunities and promises and temptations. Again, it takes a healthy amount of humility to accept that we do not know the way so many times and that we ought to depend on the one who knows, namely our great shepherd. That's certainly a blow to the ego of many of us, especially I think the male sheep who usually want to go ahead and say, "I know the way." I mean, can you imagine Bruce Willis or Clint Eastwood asking for direction? I don't think that's possible. We are maybe all a little bit control freaks. We want to forge our own destiny and we want to give shape to our own fate. We really want to sit behind the wheel of our lives and we find it difficult to let go. But often then we end up confused, and maybe you've experienced that too when you ask yourself, did I really make the right decision here? Did I really choose the right career path? Did I really choose the right spouse? Now, David invites us to let go of our need for self-determination. And he really encourages us to let go and let someone else take over as captain of our lives. Why not try it? Why not do it? Why not let someone else take over? Who knows what he's doing? There's a great beauty and great liberty in letting go and letting God take over. Because with this surrender that we are practicing comes the promise that you will actually walk down the right path. Verse 3, He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. The right path is not always the comfortable path. You might end up in the valley of the shadow of death. But as we've already seen before, if you have God as your shepherd, you lack nothing. Wherever you go, He's with you, and more you do not need. There's a really great promise here for us. God promises you to guide you along the right path for His namesake. That little phrase is actually quite important here, because that means that God ties His promise to lead you on the right path to His own character, to His own being. Basically, God says, I will guide you on the right path because that's what I do best. That's who I am. I am the shepherd who knows the way. So, in the midst of all your uncertainties and all these confusing signposts in your life, there is here a shepherd who promises you to guide you through the jungle of life, who will lead you on the right path. And what do we sheep do when we are being introduced to such a great guide? Well, of course, we stop and listen. We don't listen to our own voice and our own desires. We listen to God who really wants to guide you. Perhaps that's one of the resolutions you might want to adopt as you move out of isolation and restrictions. Let's take some more time to listen. What do you want me to do in life, Great Shepherd? Where do you want me to go? Thank you for leading me. Finally, thirdly, David paints the picture of a shepherd who's also a powerful protector. So third, the powerful protector. Clearly, shepherding is dangerous business. So often we have this rather romantic vision of this shepherd and there's a beautiful valley and then everything's nice and beautiful colors and lovely sheep. But David knew that the reality was quite different, actually. A shepherd had to be tough as he defended the sheep against wild animals. And in a conversation with King Saul, the young David says, and I'm reading here from 1 Samuel 17, quote, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Blessed the sheep that was in David's flock." And yet David, this formidable shepherd, knew that he himself was looked after by this even greater and more powerful shepherd. And this is what David says, again, Psalm 23, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Well, David clearly knew this life was not a picnic. And he knew that risks and dangers lurked behind every corner. And this is also something that is portrayed in the New Testament, where Peter writes to his readers, quote, that the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. So we are really fragile little sheep. And for a sheep to rely then, in face of this strong enemy and all these dangers, to rely on its own strength, that would be suicidal. I mean, we can clearly see that. When faced with a superior adversary, relying on one's own strength alone is quite foolish. But the great news here is that we are not on our own. We are not alone. We have Almighty God on our side. And again, we come back to this topic of the witness of God. Because God is with you, you fear no evil. What can happen? If God is with you, nothing can happen. You can just relax. You can just be at ease. the way David was. And he describes that in the following words: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So in the face of something that should make David afraid, he's actually just pretty relaxed, sitting down at the table that God has prepared. So whatever the challenge you're facing in your own life at this stage, I don't know what it is, but you know, and I'm sure there are challenges, not only this virus, but whatever it is, you can be at ease because the shepherd watches over you, and he is near you, he is with you, and he has your enemies at his leash. Basically, your enemies disappear in the shadow of this great, wonderful, and strong shepherd. He is everything for you. You are his, and he is yours. If you have him, you lack nothing. So, just as we come to a close, we realize, I hope you realize that too, that this psalm, Psalm 23, presents you with some refreshing and life-changing or life-giving words. David tells us that all our most profound needs are already met: protection, security, and everything you need. Your great shepherd looks after you. He knows what you need, and he gives you everything that you need and even more, and you feel saturated, you feel satisfied and satiated. Now, how do we take some of this, what we've heard this morning, with us in real life? How do we take this into the week to come? And I thought maybe we can do a little experiment. I want to do it. I encourage you to do it. And maybe you take note of how often you say or think in this week to come sentences that begin with an I, or where the I is in the center, like, oh, I think this, or I want this, I think we should do this, I need this, I want to do that. And you know that there might be this proud lion speaking again. Psalm 23 invites you to move rather to a humble use sentence structure. So maybe you can then substitute that and or asking you questions. What do you want, Father? What do you want me to do? Or describing God in his faithfulness. Or you are this and that to me, Father. Thank you, great shepherd. This is how David speaks in this psalm. This, as you encourage you to read it again, and you will notice all these yous. This is packed with yous. You are my shepherd. You do this for me. You set a table before me. This is what you do. It's full of yous. And maybe the idea here really is moving from I more to yous. Because we weren't created for self-centeredness. We were created for shepherd-centeredness, for God-centeredness. I mean, sheep are not meant to turn around themselves, but rather they are created to gather around as a flock around the great shepherd. That's what makes this picture beautiful. So Psalm 23 really is an invitation to move away from a life that is centered around the self towards a life that is centered towards God, centered around God. I mean, you can imagine it. A sheep looking after itself is a sad thing to watch. I mean, that's an anxious, frustrated, stubborn, hungry, irritable little creature. It even brings tears to Jesus' eyes. He says in Matthew 9:36, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." And you do not want to be a sheep without a shepherd. Jesus himself offers you to be your shepherd. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And as you do that, as you move from the I to the you will grow in this intimate relationship with your shepherd, who is everything for you. So maybe in more concrete terms, this next week you can observe yourself and look at these many areas in your life where you have these I sentences. I want to be in control. I don't want to let go of maybe even that problem or that fear or that whatever it is. And you just surrender it. You let go of it and you give it into the hands of your shepherd. So try to figure out whether you want to relinquish your desire for self-control and independence. I think I can promise you, I really want to promise you, you won't regret it. Letting go of your desire for self-control and self-determination will give you great peace and a renewed sense of lightness and contentment. So I encourage you, give it a go. Let go of yourself and jump into the arms of your good shepherd. Amen.
Sure.